Fighters, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. Just like every other Tuesday, today we're going to dig into the topic of sales. We're going to talk all things communication, sales, money mindset, how your brain should approach the sales game, and some other cool actions for you to take consistently that will move the sales needle. Appreciate you guys being here. Give us a review. Share this episode with another contractor that you know could use it. And without further ado, let's talk about sales. All right, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast, Steve, Derek, Tom edition. I don't know what we call these. We just hang out and shoot the shit.
We're just impressed that you count down these podcasts all the time, and you always get the numbers correct in the right order.
3, 2, 1. Yeah. I couldn't tell you what episode number this is going to be when it releases, but I do know that the show that came out, this is kind of cool, guys. The show that came out, today's Wednesday, came out today, was episode 494. And what's cool, though, if you take, for those that don't know, we took our Contractor Sales Academy podcast and we just moved you two over here. So if you add on the other 100 and something over there, we're well over 600, you know, podcasts that are helping contractors. And that's pretty cool. I'm pretty proud of that.
Wow. So, that's impressive.
And it's growing, man. We'll be at 1,000 in a few months here, because damn near every day of the week we have an episode here. And so, well, maybe not in a few weeks, we're not going to be 1,000, but you know, by this time next year, how's that? So anyway,
Tom, you and I have done over 300 webinars.
Yeah. And disclaimer, when you all hear a really loud, annoying sound, it's Steve's computer.
It's going to happen. It's coming. It's coming.
Let me know when it happens. Actually, I just bought a new laptop, by the way. It's being shipped now from, I don't have any clue, but we'll see if it's really the laptop or not.
Did you buy a nice one?
$2,000.
Yeah.
Top Consumer Reports, top rated. And my one and only thing I have to have, because I have it on this one, I need a touch screen. I need to manipulate the screen with my finger.
So Steve, are you really at that age now where you're going, you know, Consumer Reports said, like, you have that much time on your hands?
I'm reversed, because I used to be an anti-Consumer Reports because my wife is all over that shit. And we bought all their crap, Bosch dishwashers, and they're a piece of shit, you know? And I'm like, I'll never listen to them again. But I pay for them. I read them. I get the reports. It's interesting. And yes, I'm at that age. I'm out here biking on the beach. It's fucking beautiful. Amelia Island off of Jacksonville, Florida. And there ain't nothing but people my age and older around here. It's like, I truly feel like I'm in retirement.
Yeah.
Because I am.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. And we dragged you in to do this. So, and you have a birthday, what, March 1st?
Yeah. And I'll be the actual 65. And everybody's talking to me about Medicare. And I'm like, I know nothing about that. So I better study up and find out what the hell it is and why I should do it.
Well, happy birthday almost a month from now. And I'm sure we'll sing to you on the next episode or something. But so listen, I don't know about you guys, but you ever have that customer or that prospect that you send your price over, you talk the money, whatever you want to call it, and they go, you know, Steve, we really want to do business with you, but I'm just going to need you to sharpen your pencil a little bit.
Yep. And you know, I know who the worst customer I ever had was. And that customer was me. Because,
oh boy,
when I start working up the estimates, especially in the early days, I used to always just battle with myself going, okay, $30,000. That'll be great. That's the right price. I'll make my profit margin. Oh, that's too expensive. How about 25? Okay, 25 is it. And before you know it, I end up writing like $15,000 down on a contract. And it was no one but me and my inner roommate was having the whole discussion. And I just beat myself up and raced myself to the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, I have many, many stories, but I remember one where I went to this couple's house, came on a referral. They were in a neighborhood that was a decent middle-class neighborhood, and I had all sorts of dialogue going on in my head about where my price probably needed to be. And and all this other garbage. And I'm walking around with my tablet and I'm entering dimensions and this and that for this paint job. And I'd look at the room and I'd look at the hours that my tablet would spit out based on our production rates. And I'd be like, oh, I think we could do the room faster than this. And I'd take an hour or two off of it, you know, and I would just basically, I was sharpening my own pencil like you were talking about and ended up spitting out a price that was way less than it should have been. It was about $8,000 or $9,000. And the people said, oh my God, let's do it. That's way better than we thought. We thought it was going to be 25 or 30,000.
Son of a bitch.
You know, it's funny. My threshold is 50% gross profit margin. I don't think I've ever shared with both of you exactly how I came up with that.
How'd you come up with it?
This would be great.
It was easy math. I could just figure out whatever the shit costs, double it. Really, that's why I did it. You know, and people are like, oh, you need to shoot for 25%. I'm like, that's too hard to figure out.
Yeah. I'm just going for
50 is way easier.
Or I love when one night, I'll never forget, this happened hundreds of times probably, but I remember this one night in particular, I stayed up, came up with this proposal I had to send to somebody. I started working on the damn thing at like 7 o'clock at night. Then I took a break for dinner and then I came back and worked on it till like midnight again. And it was a $12,000 paint job, right? And it came out to like 12.2 or whatever the hell it was. And I'm like, oh, that 12 looks scary. You know, I'm going to bring it down under 11. So I sharpened my pencil and I brought it down to like 11.8, 11.9. And I hit send, went to bed, woke up in the morning and the same fucking thing happened. Guys like, approved, man, this is great. We thought it was going to be 20 grand. So there I am, you know, and my 12,000 whatever price, that was at a 50%. That was fine. It would have been fine for us, you know. But yet I sharpened my own fucking pencil. You know what you need to do with a sharpened pencil, guys? You need to stab it in your neck. That's what you need to do with that fucking thing. And start using a pen. No more pencils.
So many years ago, we didn't even do job costing early on in the early days. We were like, fuck it. We were totally winging it. And like, if we had some money, we had some money. And then someone told me about job costing. And my first response was, this is a pain in the ass waste of time. Why would we have to do that? And then all of a sudden, I figured out this 50%, and here's where I'm going to. All that really requires is when you hit that moment where you know, God damn it, that's my rule, 50%, you just need to grow a pair. Yeah. And actually, just come up with like 5 seconds of courage and don't beat yourself up. In fact, don't say anything. You just tell the person the price and shut your mouth. I remember I literally had to change my underwear the first time I did that because I couldn't take it. And I bet the silence was 3 seconds. But in that 3 seconds, you know how fast your brain worked going, oh my God, they're going to punch me. They're going to hate me. They're not going to take the job. It's too high a price. It blows like thousands of questions at you in 3 seconds. And before you know it, you've just competed against yourself, beat yourself up, and you're the loser in this whole thing. And a homeowner is just standing there going, I would have bought it at any price. I don't really care. I like you.
Way more.
Yeah.
Here's what I figured out in talking about this whole topic is courage comes from knowledge. When you know something, you're going to feel more confident, right? So I can look back and when I was sharpening that pencil, and boy, did I not, I sharpened that damn thing down to the nub, like to the metal right above the eraser. And once I started hanging out with you guys, once I started figuring out my numbers, once I started putting all these things together, I don't sharpen my pencil anymore. This shit is in pen, brother. Like pencil doesn't even exist because now I have the confidence. The fear has went away. I'm not worried about losing customers. I don't care because now I know if I sharpen my pencil too sharp, I'm not going to make any money anyway. So am I really losing a customer? No. I'm just being stupid. So through all the training that I've been through, you guys being my mentors and putting this stuff together and having my pricing, I don't worry about it anymore. Now, it does get a little weird when something's a little more custom, if you will, and it's not just in our compartmentalized, our nice little box, if you will. But then I just default to 50%. I go, okay, what's it going to cost my guys? Okay, double that. What's the material going to be? Double that. And why not put another extra 5, 7, maybe even 10% on top of that, just in case. And confidence comes from that too, because I know if I just put that in there, I'm going to be okay there too, but I got to know my man hours.
You know, the funny thing is, you know, we've been doing this long enough. We get all this pushback from guys going, I can't sell it at 50%, right? Like, I can't do it. I'll price myself out. But here's often what happens. Most contractors, if you sell it at 50, you're not going to produce it at 50. Shit goes wrong, right? It could be anything from weather to you fuck something up and got to fix it on the project to you have a homeowner that's a fucking chatty Cathy, won't get out of your ear, and that slows the crew down and they nitpick. I mean, God knows what it is. Maybe you just underbid something, right? That too. Maybe you got a newer crew that the production has slowed down because you have to train them and coach them up or whatever. So that's why I always tell guys, I'm like, fuck selling at 50, sell at 60. And then you'll produce it at around a 50, you know, and shit like that. And that's where the money needle really moves for you.
See, at 50, 60, that's, you're talking about gross profit margin. Yep. What we haven't even talked about is the goddamn net, which is all your overhead. Like you may carry a lot of overhead or maybe not much at all, but the GPM is only the beginning of you having a shot at making money. The rest is on the back end when you manage your business well.
Yep. Yep.
100%.
Yeah. And, you know, because I get people that email us and message us all the time. They're like, you always talk about gross profit. You never talk about net. Net's what it, you know, it's what's left over and in your pocket and all this other stuff. And that's what matters. I said, of course it is. That's what matters. Okay. However, for most contractors that listen to us and they're part of our world, gross profit's going to be the fastest way. Raising gross profit will be the fastest way to raising your fucking net profit and putting more in your pocket. And like Steve, you said before, it's just easier math to figure out.
Yeah.
You know, I take, and for those listening, I basically take my overhead, like, you know, which includes your salary. Let me just do math here for everybody. And say I'm paying myself 10 grand a month as the owner of the business, and there's another 15 in overhead. So what's that? $25,000 if my math is right. Guys, simply take that, guys, not you, you know this, but divide that by 0.50. That's that 25 grand becomes 50,000. That means in that given month, you have to produce and collect $50,000 worth of work. And if you only spend 50% of it to pay for the project, you got 50% left, which is 25 grand. You're zeroing out. There's no net profit there, right? So like a lot of guys, people are like, oh, what should my overhead be? Well, it depends. I mean, Steve, you... First time I looked at your books was first time I ever came to your house and you were running $1 million+ business, making all this fucking money and shit. And I looked at your overhead and it was next to nothing. Like 90%, not 90, probably 75% of your overhead expense was your salary. Like you run really fucking lean or did before you retired, you know? And that's why I love that about you is you're like, hey, if I don't fucking need it, we ain't paying for it. Right. If I can't point to it and go, this is adding value to the business. This is why, you know, it's going to make us money. You don't spend money on it. And as long as I've known you, you've invested the majority of the money in your business has gone into the people, like your pocket and your team.
You know, my second biggest expenses, actually my third, materials would be my second. My salary is the first, materials second biggest expense, because all my labor goes into direct costs. But it's entertainment for my crew is the third biggest expense I have, because I treat them to a lot of nice shit.
Yeah.
You know, we live in our world, we have the physical world and the mental world. What Derek was talking about was knowing your numbers, and physically you have to know the numbers so you can even begin this conversation that we're having right now. And the mental world that Tom, you always talk about, is the mental toughness, the stand your ground for just 5 seconds to go, you know what? This is 50%. Let me tell you how my first 50% aha moment was when I went to bid my first commercial pond job. These are massive retention ponds people build. Sometimes they have a big waterfall on them. And I added this shit up and it was like 50 grand was my cost. I said, okay, here you go. So I walk in, tell the property manager, it's $100,000. She goes, Steve, we got two other bids. They're at $65,000. I'm like, let them have it. You know, because, and I also know this is going to take me a month to do this job. And then I kick back to my, see, I have a, a default of $1,000 a day in my head. It's a little trigger. And if I take a job only making $15,000 gross profit margin, and it's going to take me 30 days, that's only $500 a day.
Yep.
That doesn't cut it for me. So I have, let me speak about default for a second. Your default as a person, and it goes for every category in your being, we're just talking about business and finance. My default is $1,000 a day. My default is $300,000 a year. These are minimum limits that I've placed on myself so I don't go below that shit. And so when you are racing your inner roommate to the bottom, at some point you're going down the elevator and you pass, ding, ding, oh, there's your default floor, and you're like flying past it. You just got to stop that shit.
Yeah.
And the one thing Derek did, what he learned is history. He did it once, it worked. Great. Do it twice, it worked. Great. Three times, it worked. After a dozen times or so, that's the confidence Derek has, because he has history is backing up everything he's doing and saying. But the people listening to us, sometimes they may try it once or they chicken out once. You got to do it over and over and over. The sky will not fall. The earth is not coming to an end.
Hey, fighters, listen, we surveyed our membership in the Contractor Fight. And 97% of the fighters in our groups said that they would love to see a combination of our Shinfu sales training and our 100K contractor program. And so heading into 2022, that's what we did. We have done away with the Shinfu Mastermind. We've done away with the 100K contractor program. And we have combined the best of both of those programs into one new program for 2022 and beyond called Battleground. This is a place where we help you grow your business through learning how to market and sell and lead and know your numbers, you know, your mindset. I could go on and on and on, guys. This is the most powerful program, the most impactful program. I'm super excited about it. I want to invite you to go to thecontractorfight.com/battleground and check out what we have going on there. Contractorfight.com/battleground and jump in, man. You get our Shinfu training, you get our foundations video program, you get marketing bootcamp, you get all the monthly calls and access to coaches. And guys, I could go on and on. Just go to the link, check out what you get there, and let's quit playing games. Let's grow your business in 2022. You guys rock. Let's do this.
Let me ask you guys one question. Obviously, Steve and I are, or Steve was, I am in a very seasonal business. Would you say as a rule, as a whole, all service industries are a bit seasonal? Like, because spring's coming, right? I mean, even other contractors, I mean, is it home builders? I mean, the reason I'm asking this is spring is coming for me. I have an opportunity to throw some away, right?
Yep.
Like I can really have fun with this because I know I've got a lot of leads coming up. And I guess I would encourage any of you guys in seasonal businesses, here it's coming, throw some away. Try the 50%, try the 60%. You know, if there's ever a time, you're hearing this podcast now, if there's ever a time in the year that you're going to be able to do this. And this is something I'm doing this year. I'm going to be really, really careful of the jobs that I take because I know I've got a lot of leads coming in. I'm going to really scrutinize every opportunity so that I'm not missing a better opportunity in 2 months or 3 months, because it always happens. Happened to me big time last year. Missed a lot of jobs because we were booked out. And it's like, man, that's so sweet. Not necessarily about the money, but easy on the team. And we had several that were hard.
You know, the whole seasonal thing's funny. So I come from the painting industry. We have interiors and exteriors, right? So we loved doing interiors because we're not controlled by the weather and all that other stuff. But the downer of that, obviously, is half your leads, half your revenue and jobs and shit like that happen in the summertime because people are outside, they're looking at stuff. So even though we worked inside year round, it was always really tough in the winter months. So I would say 100% we were seasonal. Even though
so there's always a ramp, there's somewhere in there, there's a big push.
And I think I was talking to somebody, an ads guy that does our ads this morning. And we were having kind of the same conversation where just this time of year, it's February right now, but I think from December through February in general, people are in holiday mode. They're in New Year mode. They're fucking, you know, going somewhere warm for a couple of weeks or whatever it is. And I just think there's some natural ebbs and flows. And I would 100% agree with the whole burn some leads things, because this is one of the things you said is you don't want to be locked into a shitty job 2 months from now. And I saw that in my own business early on. as a painting contractor, there were certain neighborhoods that we always wanted to have our sign in the yard first, so all the other neighbors would see our sign, right? And so what was funny about the industry is every painter was going into these posh neighborhoods, and we were all sharpening our fucking pencils to have the first sign in the yard that year. And so every one of us that sold all these jobs, the first fucking month of exteriors that we're doing, we're fucking making like nothing on them. You know what I mean? And then we're not able to get to the other high profit jobs and stuff. And I saw that pattern a couple of years, and I'm like, God, every time I'm the first sign in the neighborhood, and then we job cost thing, because you never do it when you think you can do it. You know, like we would bid the thing in March or April thinking we could bang it out in May, and then May would be a rainy month outside of Chicago for us or whatever, you know how that works. And then yep. It gets put off, and now you've rescheduled. Now you're doing this low profit job in July when it's the height of the season, you know? And so, yeah, I would say be patient. I know it's tough coming out of the winter and those seasonal climates, and you're like, I just got to get a deposit check to keep the money flowing. But it ain't worth it. Like, I'd rather drive an Uber 10 bar for a fucking month than drop my shorts like that. So, well,
I think it kind of goes back to just how my default system, I'm just so used to just taking whatever job comes to me. Like, that was because when you start your business 25 years ago, whatever it is, I'm going to do it. And now I'm starting to kind of go, and I think of you a lot, Steve, when you say the easy $1 versus the hard $2.
Mm-hmm.
Or the hard $3. And so Jamie and I, we were doing a call came in, and she's doing a portion of our sales now and was going over some stuff. And it's a very hard job. And I said, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it our way. Mm-hmm. And here we are in February. Like, let's price this out. Let's compartmentalize these things. Let's make it really easy on the team and not mm-hmm. make it a big, crazy job, but give her a big, crazy number. Then that's a hard $2. And I said, that's a hard $2. I was like, no, hang on. How do we make this an easy one? And she kind of took over. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. Taking out of your playbook, Steve, not trying to build the whole thing, but maybe just put a filter on it. Maybe just put gravel in it. Maybe just put a skimmer on it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do all of it. Cool. But maybe we just do a piece of it.
There's a thread going around in our Facebook group today about not hitting home runs. And I'm like, dude, I am where I am because I hit a shit ton of singles and doubles, period. And I got to tell you, every time we do one of these things, more times than not, I'm not even home. Like, I'm in Amelia Island on this beautiful ride my bike on fucking beach, which is hard packed and just fantastic. And the only reason I'm doing this shit is because it's somewhere in my past, I grew a pair and I found the courage to just keep my trap shut long enough for the other person to go, let's do that. And that's all it is. All this shit, it goes back to the very first thing, Tom Reaver, you ever said to me. It's the mental side of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this shit is 90% mental, 10% math. And once you figure out how to control your emotions, because you know what Buffett says, when our emotions are high, intelligence mm-hmm. is low. And that is so fucking true.
It's funny with... You talked about having your defaults. We started this by talking about sharpening your pencil. Most contractors at some point in their life default to the sharpen the pencil game, right? And Steve, what you did, for those that don't know that are listening, when you started your pond business, you're like, I'm not getting in my truck and schlepping my ass anywhere unless I'm going to put $1,000 in my pocket at the end of the day. And I think, what did you say? Your first year, and I want to give the context, you had built and sold a multi-million dollar swimming pool company, all this other stuff. So you weren't starving. You know, you'd been multi-millionaire and all this other stuff, but you wanted to start building these water features, which is a story for another day. You just set your default. And that first year, didn't you make, you worked like 80, 85 days and you paid yourself what?
$80,000.
Imagine that. There's guys right now listening to this thing that are working 422 days a year. And they're not paying themselves 60 because they don't have the right default. And as you guys know, we talk amongst ourselves as a team and stuff in our meetings and messages we send back and forth. You know, there's a saying, standard over feelings, right? What's the standard? You do your fucking job. Doesn't matter how you feel. Success doesn't care how you feel. That's the default I want to encourage people with their pricing. what's the standard of my pricing? And that has to trump my feelings 100% of the time. Because my feelings are going to be like, oh, I can do a little better. Oh, it's a rough time of year. Oh, and you start making all these little compromises. Now you've just built the habit of sharpening your pencil down to the level that Derek was saying, where it's down to a little metal nub, you know, and then you get the end of your career. And instead of living it like you are, Steve, you're fucking, you know, being a greeter at Walmart, you know, because you got to pay the fucking bills. So anyway, so standard over feelings.
The easiest way to raise your standards. Well, how do you think the easiest way to raise your standards is?
For money?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing came to my mind was start job costing. and then the second thing that came to my mind was hang around different people.
That's easy. That's the easiest way to hang around those people who are making big bank and just be a big bank person. Go, fuck it. I'm going to be a big bank person. It's so funny. My daughter, you know, my kids, I got four kids and three of them have a millionaire mindset. And one of them just like, Dad, I can only make 50 grand. You don't understand in my industry. I'm like, fuck it. Tomorrow, just go look for a new job and don't look for any job that pays under 100,000. And she's like, that'll never happen. I am not worth it. I'm like, you know what? I think you're right. You are not worth $100,000 because she doesn't fucking believe it.
Yep.
So it starts between your ears. Just get around the people with the right stuff between their ears and your life will take off. But you got to fucking show up. You got to put the work in and you got to actually go swipe a card and join a group somewhere. You got to do something to change your trajectory. Otherwise, you're going exactly where you're aimed. If you want to nudge left or nudge right, go do something different to nudge yourself.
How many times have we seen, we'll talk about that group here, man. We have our Battleground group. Go to contractorfight.com/battleground. But like, I can't tell you how many posts I've seen in our group where somebody will go in and they'll go, I can't believe the number that I just came up with. It's going to do this project. And they're like, and I have a shit ton of head trash around this, right? There's no way I can send this price, right? There's no way I could do this 50%. And you see the group, this is why your community is so important. You see people going, quit being a pussy and send the fucking number, right? Like sometimes it's a kick in the teeth like that. And other times it's like, hey dude, I know this is scary, blah, blah, blah. Trust the process, this and that. It's not your job to find their money. It's their job. This is just what shit costs. And damn near 100% of the time that person implements what the group is supporting them on, they come back and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. They said yes. Right. So I have leaned on our group. I've leaned on you guys. I know we've all leaned on each other from time to time, just going, whether it's money, whether it's a conversation that has to be had, whatever it might be, you have to have that tribe behind you going, it's okay. And then nudging you along a little bit, or else you're just going to puss out because that's our nature. Mm-hmm. You know, none of us are on an island and are strong all the time. I mean, fucking Tom Hanks had to have Wilson on that island, right? He needed help.
Wilson!
All right, so how do we find this great group of ours, Tom?
Go to thecontractorfight.com/battleground. Get your ass in there. Get around a couple hundred kick-ass contractors. Our whole team of coaches, you have access to every one of us in the group. It's pretty sweet. I'm looking at the damn thing going, shit. It's our group, guys. And I'm looking at it going, this is the best fucking group in the world, even if it wasn't mine, you know, because I'm that impressed by the community and the level of coaching and the depth. And I've been part of other groups. I know Derek, Steve, you guys have too. And you just see nobody touches the members as much as we do and is as deeply as we do, you know?
Can you say that?
Yeah, I know. When I said it sounded really weird, but no, I call it a high touch coaching group because it's like, you know, there's other groups where they run a Zoom call a week and there's, you know, no interaction with the coach. There's no interaction with the coaches in a membership site or on a Facebook group or whatever it is. And in ours, you could tag a coach, ask a question. You can get on open coaching, get on one of our calls and ask questions, get answers. That's what I'm most proud of is how dialed in the coaching team is. And I know we're getting better too, you know, cause that, like everybody else in their skill and their trade and this and that, we got to get better as coaches too. We're always looking to amp our game up. So I'm proud of it.
We eat our own cooking.
Yep.
We don't talk about anything that we don't personally do on a daily basis ourselves. We've made our own fortunes and millions doing exactly what we're telling you. And not only that, over the last, we're heading into our eighth year doing this together, we have made hundreds of millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of them.
Really?
Yep.
Only because they do the shit that we teach. That's it.
Yep.
Those are the ones. There's a lot of them that aren't doing it, don't understand it. But the ones that are implementing, they're killing it.
Well, if you're an implementer, head to thecontractorfight.com/battleground. Share this episode with another contractor. Give us a review on iTunes so that more people can hear stuff like this, which will make the industry better for all. And with that, gentlemen, we're out.
All right. Yeah. Have a good day.
Thank you, guys.